Good morning. Before we get started with what we plan to share this morning, a sister came to me just before we all started singing and asked me a little bit more about what I alluded to when I mentioned that the relationship between me and my daughter was very difficult for a period of time, for a season of about 7 years, is I think what we recount. Just to let you all know, the ending of that story, well, it's not over yet, obviously, but probably around middle school age, my daughter was beginning to go through a deep depression, and we didn't really know what depression looked like. We never experienced it. And during that course of time, she developed a physical reaction towards me. Whenever I would clear my throat or cough, she would have to hit something. Totally random, totally unexplainable. It developed into like an OCD response. She could not explain it. She couldn't control it. I did not like it. We did not like it. It developed into a very difficult time for our whole family. It was difficult to drive in the same car together. It was difficult to be on vacation together, to communicate with each other. All that being said, we found counselors. We found an appropriate medication over a period of time. And I'm not exactly sure how it was ever resolved, but we are best friends today. And God used many different ways of bringing healing in our relationship, my daughter's and mine. But it was also one of the most formative times in my personal life as well as in our marriage and our family life. We're very thankful for that. One of the things that I learned during that time was to say, no matter what the difficulty is that we're going through or what situation we're facing is, it's not the end of the story yet. It's just not the end of the story. So I just want to speak that out to you as a group this weekend. Becca has given us permission to share this story everywhere we go if we need to. It's a testimony to what God can do in relationships. During that time, we knew, without a shadow of a doubt, her heart was not turned against God. She was always turned towards God. The way she coped, literally, was she's a musician. She praised God on the piano
for hours.
Hours, and
in
when
the
she
midst of it.
In the midst of it, and it was always so puzzling to us. We didn't understand. But I held on to the fact that it was not the end of the story. Keith supported me through that. I was so at my wit's end so many times that I quit praying about it. I couldn't pray anymore. I had no words. He had to do a lot of things on my behalf during that season. But I knew it was not the end of the story. So I speak that out to you because no matter what it is that you're going through, your marriage, through relationship with your children, relationship with your parents,
grandchildren.
Your grandchildren, co-workers, it's not the end of the story. There is always time in God's economy to allow him to work. Just keep showing up. Use grace. Speak life. Speak love. Be present. And just depend on him to work it out because it's not the end of the story. So, for what it's worth. Amen. Amen. This morning, body oneness. Intimacy. Can't have a marriage weekend without that, right? Let's go to John 15 again. And I find it interesting reading the chapter of John 15 with marriage in mind. There's a whole new depth and richness in this passage with marriage in mind. John 15, verses 14 to 17.
Yeah, actually, the text is wrong here. I forgot to change it when I put up the new slide. It's 14 to 17, not 12 to 13. That was yesterday's. My bad.
You show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. I have never called you servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants, and servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate and cherished friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit, and your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. Love one another deeply. The word intimate is used a number of times in this section of John 15. So far this weekend, we have discussed and shown and testified that in order to have an intimate relationship, we must be moving towards oneness. And that oneness is nourished through our growth in spirit to the Father, and it's also nourished to our spouses through our soul, through our mind, will, and emotions, and with now this morning we're going to talk with our body, with our physical body. This element, our physical body, is often way too central to relationships, but it is happily necessary to complete a biblical picture of marital oneness. We are not only spirit and soul, but we are also body, and this involves our five senses. We have five senses that we relate to each other in our marriage, and it's very important.
Are you able to put the John passage back up there? As I was looking at, again, verses 14 through 17 here, as I was looking at this passage this morning, what caught my attention, and a lot of these passages Brenda had picked out, we had looked at them, but this morning's we hadn't kind of put into PowerPoint because we didn't know what all we were going to, we always like to measure where we're at along the way, what is Holy Spirit saying, and then respond with the last session out of that flow. And as I was reading this morning, this place of intimacy, which we've talked about, intimacy and intimacy, this peace, becomes such a key part of this call to say, if this in the spirit is aligned, it opens up the door for this place to be aligned. And this passage, really from John 15, the whole thing, but abiding the vine, but particularly this piece, is so focused on intimacy, knowing God at a very intimate level. And we talk a lot in the context of marriage, and really our culture is really around sex. You know, this somehow we don't know how to talk about this in the church, and we're not sure what to do with it. Actually, some of the reason we don't talk about it a lot in the church is because actually it is very private. It's one of those places that you recognize that happens between Brenda and me is a private matter.
And I might just say, yesterday Keith shared that when we were, before we were married, and a lot of our friends were married, and we were interacting and having, you know, fun times with each other, and sometimes they would talk derogatory, just in jest, about their husband or their wife. One of the things we promised to never do was to cut each other down in public for others to hear. The other thing we promised never to do is talk about our intimate sex life, our intimate relationship with anyone else in public.
Yeah. And so in that context, you know we're not going to say much about this, because that reality is, it is, we're going to say it's incredibly important. It's a critical component of what is there. It is that oneness at that physical body level happening. We've all experienced that. We understand that. But remember that that is where our culture starts, with a sense of, you know, even now, a lot say, hey, you know what? It's probably good just to live with someone a while to recognize if you're compatible sexually. Hello? That's what you're really worried about? You don't care if you're compatible emotionally, relationally, and knowing one another? That's the part that needs the emphasis and the focus, and yet our culture focuses it somewhere else and somehow puts so much emphasis there that we're saying, well, that's not working very well. Well, there's ways in which that aspect in terms of our body oneness may be not working well for particular reasons, but most of the reason it's not working well is because we're not doing well in our soul part of oneness. And we're not doing very well at all in our spirit part of oneness. And it's affecting that part. And yet we go and say, we're going to get techniques and all these things we can do in this arena to make it better. Well, I got some techniques for you. And they don't have much to do with what happens in the bed. They have to do with what happens when you're not in the bed. How you are actually are caring for each other and loving each other and being attentive to one another in the place of intimacy that our culture wants to put in the bed. And we live it every day in every aspect of our lives. In The Marriage Builder from Larry Crabb, and I can't describe it as good as he can, so I don't like to do a lot of reading and stuff, but I thought this was so potent as a part of how the enemy tries to take this arena, the body oneness part, and try to trump everything else with that's the key piece. So listen with me. He says, few affairs are motivated simply by desire for the physical pleasure of the sexual orgasm. Although that unique thrill is a strong temptation in itself, the compulsive appeal of sex so evident in our society's frantic search for more pleasure grows out of the opportunity that sex affords to feel a welcome and exciting relief from the steady throbbing pain of insecurity and significance. And insignificance. That throbbing pain, trying to somehow touch that place. My major point is this: sex provides a physical solution for a personal problem. The evil thing is that it seems to work so well. During those few magic moments of a sexual climax, a person experiences a consuming excitement in the body that counterfeits a sense of wholeness in the soul. And Satan's most convincing imitation of the enduring and real personal worth available in Christ is the temporary but intense bodily pleasure of sex. He seeks to persuade us that when our bodies are tingling with sexual excitement, we have reached the ultimate in our potential for satisfaction. There is nothing deeper to be enjoyed. And his argument is convincing to the degree that we regard ourselves as mere bodies, evolved from impersonal matter, and not as real persons made in the image of a personal God. So Satan does offer fun sex. Sex that for a moment helps a woman feel desirable, feminine, wanted, secure. Sex that enables a man to feel attractive, adequate, manly, significant. But Satan cannot offer meaningful relationship built on loving commitment to one another. Satan cannot offer meaningful relationship built on a loving commitment to one another. Fun sex is a charade. It satisfies the body but leaves the real person empty and despairing. It offers pleasure for the body without meaning for the person. Now, we could have long conversations about that. We could debate at some levels. But at the core, our pleading with all of you this weekend is to say, start where we started. Spirit oneness. Soul oneness, really being, in that sense, soul oneness is being naked before each other in terms of what are the things that are really troubling us and we're struggling with. And if we can't do it with our spouse, who are we going to do that with? And that flows into what God has ordained as body oneness, the union physically of a husband and a wife, God's design.
So the word intimacy in our culture is we often go to the bedroom. Intimacy. But when we look at the word intimate in Scripture, like we read in John 15, there's a whole new aspect of intimacy between us and Jesus, and therefore us and our spouses. Keith and I kind of have this joke. We'll be...
Maybe not a joke.
Well, it's
It's playful.
It's a playful. That's a better way of saying it. When we... get done working real hard outside, or oftentimes what we like to do after our long day at the office, we'll go home and can't wait till spring when it's still light outside, and we'll go home and we'll work real hard outside, and then we'll go in for a later dinner. And after, while we're putting things away, we're all dirty and sweaty, and he'll just look at me and say, thanks for making love with me, babe. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay.
First time I said it, that's what she did.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
What? Did I miss it? Yeah. Okay, now you want to make love? Or
so basically, we've come to understand that when we physically show our love to each other through tasks, through working together, through serving each other, it is a form of making love to each other. It is an intimate part of our relationship. We kind of thought maybe we would title this session How to Make Love Without Having Sex, but then we thought, well, that's a little bit, meh. But that's really what we mean. Intimacy is all about making love to your spouse, and we're not talking about the sexual part. One of the things that we love to do is host family and friends in our home. And we have learned over the years that, again, we have this dance. We have this rhythm that we kind of just know whose job it is to peel the potatoes, whose job it is to set the table, whose job it is to clean up afterwards. We just kind of know it. It's kind of like a dance step. And we'll be in the kitchen together. I have a small kitchen, but I know where kind of I do my thing and he does his thing. We do it when we do breakfast. Every Saturday morning, we have a tradition of making scrambled eggs and toast for breakfast for each other. And he makes it, but...
You eat it.
I eat it.
Too.
It's just a tradition that we have, but we know these rhythms in our lives. And this is the way we show each other our love. It's a dance. It's a routine. It's the little things that are big things. And it's the things that we do simply because we love the other person, and we do them without prompting. Because I just know that he would want me to do that. He just knows that I would want him to do it.
Yeah, I mean, a good example of that, and it's one you noted, but one that catches my attention, is she knows I love soup. I love good, hearty soup. I could eat it all week. So if she makes a big bowl, I have it for the whole week. But she knows I love that. And there's times I come home, and she's got, there's a big old pot there or whatever, and she's like, I made soup for you. That's like making love to me. It's speaking a love language around something that I treasure and love. And I know she knows it, and I know why she does it. Because actually, she doesn't really like soup.
I'll eat a bowl.
She'll eat a bowl.
The rest of the week, he can have it.
she'll eat a bowl, and I'll eat a bowl.
Yeah.
Because I love this stuff. But it is the small things in the context of knowing each other that open the door for us to love each other deeply and to become intimate as we dance throughout the day. Yeah. So yesterday we talked a little bit about this whole thing of intimacy using the phrase into me see. And that context, and I wanted to put it on a slide simply for you to kind of see that thing. Yeah, it's somebody, you know, you can play with words all you want, but I love that piece of the sense of saying, I am a student of this woman. The heart of a student that has said, I'm committed to this person. They are the one that I'm saying, no matter what happens in our lives, you're the one that I treasure and value. And I have to become a student to understand what is it that actually makes her tick. I become, in that context, an expert on my spouse. Not because I use that against her to control her, but because I love her so much that I want to do every way possible to let her know that love. And if we are committed to ministering in that way, and both of us committed first and foremost to the Lord, but then out of God's design and call, committed to serve one another and to, in that contest, minister one another, it creates this kind of really dynamic and vibrant relationship. Because we are, in that context, dying to ourselves so that that person might live more fully. And then someone's doing that for us, which means I'm living more fully, which means she's living more fully, and it becomes this cycle of life and delight. And I'm here to say it only gets better. Every year only gets better. It's different. You get to your, as we are, her in her 60s already, and me in this year going into 60s and stuff. I mean, the body doesn't work quite the way it did. You can't go out and work outside and not come in and kind of grunt and moan a little bit because you've been out there whacking all the weeds down and whatever it is. But the heart of that person and who they are didn't change. Into me, see, invites us into that space to say, how might you understand and express that reality that you understand your spouse by the things you do and the things you say? Another thing, this is a broader teaching that I do and something I love to ponder, but this whole thing of treasure. There is treasure. There's spiritual treasure to be mined and discovered, those things. But see, there's a treasure in this woman. You think she's a treasure? You don't know her real well, but you got to know her a little bit about it. You think she's a treasure? You have no idea. You have no idea of the treasure inside of this woman. She is a strong woman. She is an opinionated woman. She's a high D on the DISC profile. She's an 8 in the Enneagram. I mean, she can kill it anywhere. But you know what? She's one of the softest 8s that I know. One of the softest D's that I know. And I watch that and I'm like, you know what? I want to call out that gifting in her and the ways in which I watch God form that and shape it in her. And she does the same for me. We dance through life, but our focus isn't what are we going to get done out there, but it's what is God doing in you, and that person saying, what is God doing in you? And together becoming all that God's called us to be as a couple. And who knows how many years the Lord gives us, but I'm thinking a lot more, and I can't wait to see what He does in us and through us because of that oneness that He has started to form, continues to form in that context. So mining for treasure is saying, what treasures might there be in your spouse that you haven't yet seen? That you suddenly are taking something out of an old box and you look under and you're like, oh my goodness, Lord, look what treasure is in my spouse. How can I affirm and call that forth? How can I bless that?
Have any of you ever seen a geode? You know what a geode is? A geode looks like a round rock. Very ugly. And it just looks like a rock. But if you take a hammer and a chisel and you crack it open, it looks like it's full of diamonds. And they come in different colors. We have a grandson, Oliver.
Almost 4.
Almost 4. He loves geodes. And we found a geode at, long story. Yeah. Anyways, we found a geode that was not cracked open. Oh, it was the most glorious day that we could take a hammer and a chisel and crack open a geode in its raw form like that. We are like geodes. Mm-hmm. Old rocks that look hard and unshapely like nothing on the outside very often. But inside, we are filled with beautiful, reflecting, mm-hmm. gorgeous, diamond-like treasures. Mm-hmm. And if you polish them up, my parents on their fireplace mantle, they have a whole handful of geodes that they've collected at various places throughout the United States. They're just the most beautiful earth formations. I never really knew that much about them until my grandson started talking about them.
Flipping
really? Yeah. Yeah, so that's what comes to my mind. Mm-hmm. We're like geodes. We need to look at our spouses as that treasure that needs to be uncovered and polished, and then the beauty is very reflective. Keith and I referred to the dancing part of our marriage. 20-some years ago, a friend of ours turned 40, and we were invited to his 40th birthday party celebration. It was going to be an all-night thing. They were people, friends of ours, that we had just gotten to know, and suffice it to say, they lived in a bit of a different class of society than we did. That's what I felt, anyways. Whether they did or not, I don't know. And we went to the party, and it was lots of food, lots of people, lots of music through the sound system in their home. And about halfway through the party, they announced that they turned the music down, and they announced that they'd like to introduce us to some friends. They're professional ballroom dancers, and they would like to teach us all how to do a ballroom dance. We're like, okay. This is totally nothing we have ever tried.
Cleared back furniture to make space as much as
they could.
They moved
back the furniture in the house, and they turned on the music. And this couple did some very beautiful professional ballroom dancing. I can't even begin to show it to you anymore and describe it, but it was very fun to watch. Then the fun part was they gave us all a lesson. So we all partnered up, and they told us, you know, how to hold each other's hands, hold each other's waist, the different steps, and then they turned music on, and we did it for a while. And then kind of in the midst of all of that, they stopped, and they said, let us tell you what we've learned about God in ballroom dancing. And it was very, very fascinating to learn some of the nuances in ballroom dancing, professional ballroom dancing. That is like the kingdom. And I don't know if, I mean, we've seen some kingdom principles in Cinderella. We can certainly see something in ballroom dancing. I'm coming under the opinion that everything is spiritual these days, and we just have to look for those spiritual treasures. So in ballroom dancing, apparently, when the man slips his hand around the woman's waist, he can tell her which way he's going to move or which way he wants to guide her simply by the
touch.
Tender, small little touch of his hand on her back. And it's kind of also like when they look in each other's eyes, they can read each other again the next step through their eyes. And I think that's how we must think of our relationship in our dance with our marriage, with our partner, but it's also in our dance of life with our Father God, with Jesus. We know that when we, when I go like this to Keith, he knows that that means something. When I look at him a certain way, he knows that that means something. It's fun to catch each other's eye across the room. We kind of have this thing that we do. We go like this. That means I love you, you love me, you know, we're in this together kind of thing. So you have these little things that you do, and this is part of body oneness. Mm-hmm. So what we would like to do is play the Cinderella clip again. And you've heard us talk about dancing. You've heard us talk about kingdom. You've heard us talk about oneness. And we would love it if you could see this dance with new eyes, with fresh eyes, with new ideas in your mind.
New attentiveness to spirit.
New attentiveness, mm-hmm. Yes. We can get it light, dark enough.
Yeah.
Father, it was for the people.
I know you love the people, Kit. But I also know that your head's been turned. If you've only met her once, in the forest.
And you would have me marry someone I met once, tonight?
A princess. It's a princess or nothing.
Thank you. present Her Royal Highness the Princess Shalina of Zaragoza.
You are as handsome as your picture, and your little kingdom is enchanting.
I hope the princess will not find our little kingdom too confining.
Miss Ella.
Thank you. I'm frightened, Mr. Lizard. I'm only a girl, not a princess.
And I'm only a lizard, not a footman. Enjoy it while it lasts.
My lords, ladies, and gentlemen, distinguished visitors, and people of our land, the prince who now chooses partner for the first dance, let our ball commence!
Excuse me.
A thousand apologies, Your Royal Highness. I don't know what happened.
If I may, that is, it would give me the greatest pleasure if you would do me the honor of letting me lead you through this, the first
dance.
Yes, dance. That's it.
At you.
too sure. That just does not bode well.
That's a lovely dress she's got on.
And how pretty she is.
Concentrate. Must turn the prince's head, you fool. Now get out there.
Might want to take a date night sometime and watch the whole thing.
Just in the context of seeing that again, but also what we've kind of walked through this weekend, just again moved emotionally in that context for me personally, partly because weaving together this concept of kingdom that is centered around this place and space of a heavenly kingdom that is but is not yet, but it is already present here. And we're going to be invited into space that is mystery, that has pageantry. It has a benevolent king that's inviting us into a place and space that we're not quite sure we're ready to believe the fairy tale. Because could that God actually do that in me and in you? Not that story, but that place of calling out all that's inside, the treasure that's inside. And part of our kind of closing here today is really around an invitation to, again, as the mystery of marriage from Ephesians 5, to challenge you, encourage you, prod you, spur you on to that place of saying you get to be on the stage for the whole world to see, demonstrating the beauty and the delight of that kingdom. Like the bridegroom and the bride, Christ and the church. The groom and the bride dancing through life with the delight of an awareness of something that's so much more important than all the stuff we're killing ourselves for here to try to somehow make ourselves happy. There is something better than what we're pressing in to find. And it's not just better. It's far beyond what we can have that this world has to offer us. This morning as I woke up, I was almost immediately prompted in my heart and my spirit to, and you don't need to turn here, but I don't have it on the slide, but I want you to just listen to it. It's the passage around, we are then Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. You know that passage from 2 Corinthians 5. But just listen with me. As I read this, and I just felt like the Lord gave me this passage as one more step in this message and really the heart of what's here. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and holds us tightly. Because we are convinced that he has given his life for all of us, this means all died with him so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him. The one who died for us and now lives again is the one that we worship. So from now on, we refuse to evaluate people merely by their outward appearances. Don't just look at the geode and the stone. We refuse to evaluate people merely by their outward appearance, for that's how we once viewed the Anointed One, but no longer do we see him with limited human eyesight. Now, if anyone is enfolded in Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping record of their transgressions. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lives, our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. I was particularly captured as I read that passage in the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 20. And that place where it simply identified our call, that place to be ministers of reconciliation to others, that God has chosen to use us, has chosen us to be the one that helps to open the door. This morning, my close friend Dana, my spiritual friend from Atlanta that we've been friends for quite some time, and he knew I was doing this, it was praying for me, and he texted me this morning, and in that context, what he sent me was simply Revelations 3:20. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. It's about intimacy. Intimacy, back to where we started. Intimacy with the one who loves us most, who knows us the best, and who also says there's so much more that I have for you than what you or others believe in you, because I'm calling you to be an ambassador of reconciliation. And one of those ways, again, is that two united as one on the stage of life have the opportunity to allow others to see a small picture of what the kingdom really looks like, entering into that mystery. And so we'd like to take, to close this time just with these questions. We've done questions at the end of each session. We're going to give you a little more time on this one. Is there something specific about oneness that God highlighted for you personally? And sorry about that, just a little lack of communication that I had not given to Brian. The first one, yes, is really more personal. The second one is, as a couple, what are you asking God for that will create a deeper intimacy and a greater oneness? And so spend a little time, maybe a minute or so, jotting, is anything that really caught your attention personally, and then turn to each other as couples and just say, is there anything that we together want to ask God for, that would create a deeper intimacy and greater oneness. Go ahead.
I was going to say, take some time to do that. Mm-hmm. We're not opposed to a little bit of minstreling if you want to do that during the instead of quietness. Totally up to you. But I just realized we're breaking off from the norm of what our pattern has been this morning. After you answer these questions and share, then we're going to give, in a sense, an open mic time, although you don't have to come up to the mic. Just share from where you are, if you are free, if you feel free to do so. Something you want to share. It can be something that was highlighted to you. It can be a public declaration of something as a couple. But it's totally up to you. So
take the next 5 minutes.
Take some time to process.
That, okay? About 15 more seconds. Again, we could spend a lot longer, but this is just a start. Let's just gather back together as a group. The first thing I want to say is that you guys just ministered to my heart in powerful ways, just standing here and watching you. There was a lot of leaning in, eye to eye, emotions and affection that was happening in that context. That's enough for me to see. There wasn't something I was necessarily wanting as a byproduct. Just that whole thing of, what are we going to do with what we just heard? You know, we go to a lot of seminars. We got a lot of stuff to do. And rarely do we apply what we've learned. It's one of our problems in the West. We have way too much information and very little application. And that invitation to that space. And so we don't want to belabor this. I know some of you guys want to get in the road. But if there are individuals here who are willing to and would like to share something, Johnny has a mic. And just, again, if you can give your names, I didn't memorize all your names. Another thing you could do for me if I did it in the future, Johnny, is do a roster of all the people that are here because I love names. But right up here is one, Yeah, you had it, but I just didn't ask for it.
All right. Is it on?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. We're Jeff and Donna Carvel. We're from Lancaster County. And for us, we want to know, as a couple, where we go next. I mean, like, yous are sharing your love to people. What is in store for us next? Like she said, it'd be so much greater when you retire because then we have more time. But that's just an excuse. And maybe we're not supposed to know the answer yet, but we surely want to try to ask and find the answer.
Absolutely. Powerful. May God continue, as you drive home, as you think about this, to keep imparting little geodes of treasure that open up that you didn't expect, that was just a rock sitting there, but suddenly it turns into a treasure.
I also feel quite strongly that as you uncover the treasure inside of each other, to expose what your giftings are, bring them up more clearly to the surface, you'll know what the next step will be.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing, Jeff and Donna.
Also from Lancaster County, yay! We just celebrated 52 years of marriage last Monday, and we thank the good Lord for that. And even though we're married that long, there's still new things to learn.
Yeah.
And one thing that we've learned, he made dinner for me a couple weeks ago. Back in our generation, the woman cooked, okay? We're going way back. But, we have this joke. When he empties the dishwasher or folds the wash, I say to him, "What does this mean?"
So I empty the dishwasher every day. No, it don't work quite that way. We're in our 70s, so.
Yeah.
We're all laughing because we understand.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray and Janie. Other things that you've shared that you have a desire for greater oneness, whatever it might be?
Yeah. Hi, we're Jen and John, and it really meant a lot because I feel I've been falling off as a husband. And we don't communicate. And what's been lacking is us praying together.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember our verse when we got married was the cord, you know. And we have a little one, and he was starting to untangle the cord apart. And that's what we need.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, thank you for your transparency, Jen and John. And I just, I think wherever you're sitting, I just encourage you to extend the hands to this precious couple. We're going to pray a blessing over you. God, this couple came to this place not knowing what to expect, not even maybe knowing why they were coming, and wondering, what might happen here? You know, maybe it gets worse rather than better. And we just declare right now in Jesus' name that new things open up, new doors open up. And I ask, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, that you would anoint this couple for a new level of transparency. John, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid that Jen is going to reject you. Instead, you say, this is my desire, even though this is the broken part of me, this is the part that doesn't work, that in that, what I desire is for that greater intimacy with you, Jen. And Jen, as you receive that, think back to the skit. Treasure John's heart as he gives it to you in new ways. Don't turn back in rejection, but hold that tenderly. Fight like a girl. And that is really standing for your man. And continue to call out the best in him. We bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Thank you. Uh, others, anyone else. I'm not trying to push. I know a lot of you are, have ways to drive, and you've got roads to navigate, but I don't want to miss something if there's something God wants to plant here.
So Dent and Cindy Fullweller were from Wingap area, just a little south of here. And you know, it's interesting, this whole weekend you were planting so many seeds in our lives. And now it's our job just to water them and let them grow into beautiful plants and trees. And I think one of probably the most overwhelming thing you said was, life's a dance, and we got to watch each other dance and just admire it and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's really good.
So it's a great weekend for us.
Well, praise God.
So thank you.
Yeah, and your first name again?
Dent.
Dent, okay. No, I thought you said that, but I don't usually call people Dent. So.
It's really important. One thing that I am learning, we are learning, is it takes so many kinds of people in this world for God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And it's far better for us to encourage the riches out of each other than it is to tell each other what they're supposed to look like. So we are excited to see the variety of seeds that are planted, because we have no idea what the plant's going to look like when it comes out. But we know that God will make sure it grows and be prosperous. So.
It's interesting for us, because I just recently retired, so we're looking at a new chapter.
Yeah.
It'll be a new dance step.
Yeah.
It's a new dance step.
I was particularly impressed with your name and the spirit. I just felt like the Lord was saying there have been places where there have been dents along the way for both of you. And they feel in some ways insurmountable. You can talk about this and say, yeah, that was really nice. We had that weekend. And you said, but the work is ours to do. And I just want to remind you that this is the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to soften hard ground and dents and things like that and give us what we need for that next day to be able to move forward. Do not lose heart. Don't let the enemy rob you of what was planted here this weekend, and press in, trusting the one who called you to do that work in you.
And when we're disappointed, there's always an upgrade. When we're disappointed and things go wrong, we must learn to understand that God knows the end from the beginning. It's still at work. It's not the end of the story. It's going to be an upgrade. When Keith's back end of the car just got dented, and I was surprised he wasn't ticked off at the guy who hit him. He had time driving it home. Fortunately, it drove. And I was, the whole time the Lord was speaking to me, is okay. It's okay. We do not know how this is going to end. And I know it's going to be fine. It doesn't mean we're going to upgrade to a new car, but it might mean that one rusty spot gets repainted.
Yeah.
But it's always going to be an upgrade, and we must live in faith of that upgrade.
Hi, we're Howard and Lisa. And we've been to several of these marriage encounters, and we have a good time, and we're high on love and everything, you know, when we're here. And then you go home, and things are better for a day, a week, you know, and you come to find out that it was better because of emotion. And emotion fades away.
Yeah.
You know, we get high on the speakers and the music. But if we go home and try to do things on our own,
yes.
All it was emotion. Jesus Christ was not in it. If we don't go home and make him the Lord of our lives and of our marriages, we wasted our money this weekend. You know, unless we had a good time away. But
yeah.
And we might have got a couple of tidbits, but that all things, our memories fade.
Yeah.
If we try to do anything on our own, it's like I tell Lisa, I always want to pray with my wife, and I actually have a note on my phone that pops up every night for the last 5 years to say, pray with Lisa. I've done it maybe 3 times in the last 5 years. Because I click on them. And it's because I'm not making him the Lord of our marriage. And we have to do that, otherwise this is going to fade away. It's like all the other marriage encounters and everything we've been to.
Yeah.
But you have to. We can't do it on our own, is what I'm trying to say. We have to look to him, and he'll make it work.
Yeah. Thank you, Howard and Lisa.
I'd like to just pray over the two of you. Father God, thank you for your ministry into the lives and to the marriage of Howard and Lisa. I ask, Lord, now by your Holy Spirit that you would water their hearts and love for each other, that it would grow deep, 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 deep into the soil.
Yes, Lord Jesus. And Lord,
And Father God, I also ask that, I felt like what the Lord was saying as you were speaking, Howard, is that you need to take the pressure off. And just love. Take the pressure off yourself. It's not about checking off. It's good to have reminders. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's not about checking it off. Don't receive condemnation. Take the pressure off yourself and just have fun. Enjoy the dance. Minister into her heart.
And I think with that, what I was really impressed by the Lord was this what came, last night was a hard session for us teaching. And I told Brenda in the middle of it, I realized at a new level that the soul, Watchman Nee would call it the soulical arena, is the war ground of the enemy. You see, our soul, what we feel, what we think, you know, our emotions, they're all this war zone. And so in that place, it really requires us to say, Lord, today I offer to you my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. And would you take me one little step further and one little step further? Rather than focusing on, I'm not where I want to be, and then giving up, just take the next step. And it starts with that place of being present with your spouse, and in that place of that solical arena, really acknowledging it's only because he gives you the capacity to do it. It's not because you got to be a better person, Howard. It's because he has to continue that transforming work in you and me and Lisa and Brenda and all of us. So blessings. Thanks for your courage to share.
Hi, I'm Jen, and this is my husband, Dwayne Ballmer, and this is our either fifth or sixth year coming to the couples retreat, and we always get something very valuable out of it every year. And I just wanted to piggyback on what you just said. Sometimes I like to be reminded of our feelings aren't facts. So the fact is that we chose each other, and sometimes we need to make a commitment to choose each other again.
Yes.
And another fact is that God chose us. We didn't choose him.
Yeah.
He chose us before the world. And that is a fact that will never change. So even when our feelings may be dicey on one day or another, the fact is we're still committed to each other. We still chose each other. And that's something that won't change. So I think that's encouraging.
Amen. Thank you, Jim.
I'm usually the one that talks, but she shocked me. I'm like, who's
talking? That's her.
I wasn't sure who that was, yeah. But I just wanted to praise the Lord for events like this. Mm-hmm. Because everybody here is probably like me. You're busy, and there's lots of reasons not to come on a weekend like this. But thank the Lord for Spruce Lake. Mm-hmm. They focus on the gospel and the truth of Jesus. Because, you can go to workshops about marriage and intimacy, but it's all a joke. So what I tell myself is, don't believe the lie of what the world's telling us, of like you said this morning, what intimacy is. And the fact that if our relationship with the Lord isn't correct or right in right relationship, we were, like you said originally, about being out of alignment. And so this is a great excuse, a great reason to check your alignment, at least yearly.
Mm-hmm.
So praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dwayne. Well, I want to say thank you so much for the opportunity to be together with you. You have no idea how much, again, especially this last piece, watching you interacting and stuff, how much that blesses my heart. because I really believe what we shared in that initial session, that this mystery of marriage, God is restoring, raising up, and putting on the stage of life for people to see. And people, when they see that, they want to know what's behind that. And every one of you, as a couple, is anointed by God to prepare for stage. You don't have to have stage fright, because when it's the right time and the right place, you'll be there on the stage and He'll give you what you need. And so I asked Brian, do you have something else you want to share?
I was going to just reiterate what Jesus tells us. But I call you my most intimate and cherished friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, but I have chosen you and commissioned you to go into the world and bear fruit. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, He's going to give it to you. So this is His parting command. Love one another deeply.